Hello and welcome to Tim's take on, well, this is a Sarah Jane Adventures and classic Who signing with a bit of new Who mixed in. The guests today have been the actors who play Maria's mum and dad in the Sarah Jane Adventures. Tony Selby, who was Sabalon Glitz in Trial of a Time Lord, because he couldn't make it to the signing earlier this year. Jimmy Winston, who was in Day of the Daleks, and who's the other guest? It's somebody from Turn Left, isn't it?
Oh, it's the Weasley Doctor guy from Smith. Too bad. The Weasley Doctor guy from Turn Left, who made a comeback.
Smith and Jones, and then he came. That's where I recognise him from, is Smith and Jones. So far he's the Weasley Doctor guy, but thankfully that was the voice of Chris Ellis, and Chris Burgess is now all over the iPhone like a rash and will no doubt tell us within seconds.
Mr. Burgess, like it pointed out, that he came up with the line Weasley Doctor guy.
If only this was broadband, we'd have got there by now. Oh well. I can tell you that it is quite crowded, despite this being a cold December day, December the 13th, and that Ben Wrighton. Thank you very much. Well, let me just read out the full list. Yes, it's Tony Selby, Juliet Cowan, who was Chrissy Jackson, Sarah Jane Adventures, Joseph Milson, who was Alan Jackson, Sarah Jane Adventures, Jimmy Winston, who was in Day of the Daleks, and Ben Wrighton, who played Morgan Stern in Smith and Jones and Turn Left. And thank you very much to Chris Burgess for that. And, well, we'll wait around. Oh, yeah, I was just about to say that Derek is taking full advantage of Christmas and selling Santa hats with added hair, added ponytails, and dealy boppers as well. Christmas dealy boppers. And the venue here in Barking have been kind enough to provide us with some nibbles, and I think I'm going to nick some in a second. So back in a sec with the Q&A, which you might be able to hear over this hubbub if you're lucky.
Are the doctors on it? There's two more. Yes, there. Few pieces have a look. food, she was lovely. Please go and buy a pound for a £1 and £4 is set aside. And it's going to be on Instagram, just told me about it because I didn't know that. And Joe and Juliet have got a raffle ticket. And the first prize gets the pint, and the second prize gets the mug with the tickets in it. So I'm going to late to be speaking on that.
Right,
so again, to the life, you just go asked later on, would you come back and do another episode?
Well, there was all sorts of writing issues, and I sort of within it 1 minute, then nothing, and they didn't know how they were going to do that one, and then luckily they went to the version of me.
Did you do that all on your own?
No, I was in Cardiff and filming all the, although it's terrible weather, there's a pitch in there, there's absolutely no acting going on. I am freezing, very miserable. it was not really, really nice.
Do you remember how you got the part?
Yeah, roughly. My career's been, as you probably know, it's off and on from music, acting, music. And I went down to the Theatre Royal Stratford, where Joseph was running the theatre. At that time, I was still running the band. But watched one of her shows and just got the urge came back, basically, a few beers in the bar afterwards, and got chatting to her. And the following Monday, I started working for her. But one of the shows, I did quite a few shows at Stratford, and one of the shows was Love and War, it's another version of it. And the casting director came to see the show. It was just absolutely so good luck when they came, but because probably the content of Love and War, the soldiers, etc., they came and spoke to me after to the bar. We were doing something to Doctor Who, would you be interested? I said, yeah, I'd love to be here. And similar to here, I didn't really hear for about 5 or 6 weeks. And then eventually got a call and to go in to cast for it and carried on from there. So it was lucky from Stratford, really, going with it.
I'm going to ask you about the Doctor's familiar.
Yeah, I call him familiar.
It's good. John Pertwee.
Yes.
What do you remember of John?
Oh, he was an absolute lovely guy to work with. I knew his kind of history, his working history, before going into this and his TV stuff and that. But when I actually met him and went down there, it was a bit kind of daunting at first, because Doctor Who is quite an established setup, you know.
It's been 9 years and it didn't
run. Yeah, and but meeting him straight away, the casting's always a bit of a pain, you know. You don't know if you've got something or not. As soon as I met him the day afterwards, and they discussed it and so on. He was such a lovely guy. From that moment on, you're okay. You know, he was the sort of the atmosphere of the whole show, I felt. And although there's been some good Doctor Who's, I did particularly like him just by working with him. You know, he had the salience, you know.
Do you have memories of Katie Manning?
Yes. Yeah, obviously not as strong, really. She was very nice and easy to work with.
She's a bit mad these days, isn't she?
Probably. We've all grown a bit crazy, but it comes with age. It does come with age and experience. But very nice. What amazed me, because I've been in things where we were a bit more crazy before this, how strict the kind of structure and the scripting of Doctor Who was. Because if you just watch it, you think everyone's there like having fun and playing space cowboys, really. But the actual way they worked it and filmed it, it was very strict, you know. That at first, interesting to my work, you know. Everything had to be right, you know, to keep kind of the mood and the atmosphere going.
Ben, did you
take a test
for this?
Yeah.
How was that?
Fantastic. I don't think everyone sounded even agree. It was a fantastic doctor and a great actor and a lovely fellow. And I think that the level of reports is going to get better.
Yes,
it's
not his part, he's just missed his second of what's going on. It's only the second thing he's ever missed.
Yeah.
It's one of the things.
He's great and really sums up this new, new doctor.
And it was Freema's first
episode. It was the first day of filming and the whole thing for her, so she was quite nervous, but she's great, you know, and I'm sure I obviously, yeah, her first day is fantastic, so obviously a very hard thing to do, but she handled it very well. I think she sort of didn't really know what she was getting herself into, really. I think she yeah, she was completely sort of oblivious, but just got on and did what she had to do, really. And I sort of, everyone sort of felt for her, because it was a tough, very tough first couple of days, but
you know, she did a great job. When I know David Tennant, I nearly said no, because nobody knew how big he was going to be.
Yeah.
He said, if I accept this job, I might be the guy who played Doctor Who for 90 seconds at the end of that episode, but yeah. If it doesn't get renewed,
I think that Russell T. Davies and him work very well together, and like obviously through Casanova and things like that. So I think that there's a fairly odds on chance of it continuing. But thank God they did, because he does a wonderful job.
Tony, you've got quite a list of doctors. Colin and Nicola.
They've just released a DVD, and on it it says starring Robert Lindsay and Tony Selby. And I'm not one of these people who talks about stardom. I played the lead. And if you play the lead, it would be like putting out Doctor Who and saying starring Tony Selby and Colin Baker, or Tony Selby and Sylvester McCoy. You don't do that. I mean, I know why they've done it, because Bob Lindsay is high profile. He's on My Family all the time. He's on everybody, whatever program, you know, digital. So I'm a bit umpty about him at the moment. But it's not him personally, honestly. It's the marketing. Yeah. But he did stop it going out. He stopped it being repeated, which, you know, you don't do in this country, because we've all got to get a living. And way back in 1981, it was done in 75. It was going to be repeated, and he put the block on it. He was allowed to do that then, but now no one's allowed to do that. If 20% of the cast didn't want it to be repeated, because they were repeating a lot of stuff,
yeah.
And within Equity, we thought it was stopping new stuff being made.
Yeah.
So there was a vote taken that if you didn't want it repeated, Martin Shaw did it to Lewis Collins. He stopped it going out. So, you know, most people aren't like that. Most actors share. You know, they're like to share. It's a shared experience. And if you don't give, you can't take, you know.
Yeah,
it's about chemistry. And that's what I mean. I had an immediate rapport with Colin playing Glitz. And when I came in as Glitz was trying to kill him. But after the first few episodes, this chemistry grew, and so I became a mate of the Doctor. More likely defending than attacking. So, but I mean, that's really basically the process we go through as actors, is to build relationships within the character.
It's funny how that occurs with the ongoing script, isn't it?
Where
he changes, like, he actually grows like a real experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they start catching a writer.
That's exactly it.
It's good.
Blitz caught on with the writers, and as it developed, he became more and more friendly and funnier, as opposed to being. He was quite a hard case to start with. They lined him up.
Sylvester was Blitz, you know, it was actually that sort of different character, JT, and.
Outside Port Talbot, so they tell a lie, it was a university, medical block of a university which looked like a hospital. And so they booked it, so we were all filming there, and then we were all there at the same time. But she's really wonderful. I've only recently left drama school. I've been out of drama school for about 8 months when I did. So and she was absolutely terrifying, but in a very sweet way, and kind of very actressy kind of way.
So a fabulous thing about that one, I think it was Des McConnell's show she was on.
Yeah.
And his opening question was coronation season. She just looked at him. It's been 40 years. And yeah, okay, exactly. Okay, we'll talk about something. But he just went, whoo!
Yeah, no, I mean, she has an incredible sort of presence, actually. Yeah, and her and Roy Marsden as well were such a pair to have on the set. They were sort of nattering and nattering, you know, really fascinating, certainly for a young actor to listen to these, you know, these conversations. Absolutely fascinating, but they were very sort of, you know, you were having sort of lunch with them and you sort of go, where's the soul? And then suddenly that reminds me. And these sort of great stories, but no, they were both lovely, perhaps the eldest lady.
Can you learn the small faces?
That's right. Yeah.
Was that your first launch into the business?
Well, not really. I was saying to some people earlier on, it's been a kind of kaleidoscope, the up and down, absolutely. When I left school, went into bands, 16, did that for a while, and then I got the moose, I wanted to be an actor, so I was 20, I went to drama school for 3 years. The week I left drama school, in a pub in the East End, I did a bit of comedy, I was sitting in the Stephen Mayer and somebody else came, and we sat there. They got up to sing a few songs, we had a few beers, went off, spent the night somewhere together, getting plastered probably. And in the morning, we formed a band. It just kind of existed. And then, after that, I went in about 68, fed up, needed to change again. And that's when I went down to the Theatre Royal Stratford, went back to acting. We had the early 70s, an opportunity came to record again. And I went back into music for a bit, you know, and then, mid-70s, went back to some more TV. It's an off-and-on situation.
So I think that's pretty much our time, but I was going to ask you what you're up to at the moment. What's next? Is anything like that?
Justice.
Christmas.
As still, I did a big charity evening. I sang a couple of songs. For Harry Seaton, we used to do a big charity every year. And I was standing next to Paul Schofield. I was standing next to him, and we were introduced to Princess Anne, who was the guest of honour. She went along the line, and she got to Paul Schofield, and she said, "Oh, hello, Paul, how are you?" And he said, "Hi, thank you, ma'am." She said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Just this." And I thought, this great actor, he's out of work too.
I never know whether to ask that question because actors are actors, so there are times when people go, just
that. Well, when I started as a kid, they used to say, "I'm resting." You don't rest, do you? You either work or you don't work.
Well, I love the figures. It's frightening, really. The 100% act, it's 2% are working at any given moment. 1% probably quite successful.
I don't know.
It's probably true. Every year they're turning out thousands of young actors and actresses, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's such a bizarre stat, isn't it?
It is, I mean, really.
And actors can work for 2 days in a year, and that will be enough money for the. It's a complete opposite science.
It is, really. Depending on the work. I think the way you used to look at it, if you go to, say, if you went to drama school, that kind of environment, you work with a bunch of people for, say, 3 years. And then for a couple of years afterwards, you start looking at who you see work.
Yeah.
From your own peers, your own group. And there's 30 people in the group, the classes that I'm in the drama school, and there's probably one or two I've ever seen do anything. So I can only assume that the rest eventually went back to reality.
I did a lot of series of a program called Peak Practice many moons ago, and Phil Collinson was the script. I mean, he was the photocopy boy, basically. And so it just goes to show, be nice to people on the way up, because they just phoned and said, "Do you want to come and do this pilot episode of a thing?" So I didn't really know anything about it until I got the script, and I don't know, another nice bloke. But it turned into my favourite job of my life, you know. It's been great. Yeah.
It's good.
It's been a hoot.
Paul Francis has described himself as the only man who had a hard Latin from the end that we can't.
Really?
The Anthony Cotton who created spoke was acting for 5 months and then he failed with the audition.
Well,
he's an actor,
wasn't he?
Does,
no,
he
I does. Believe that's true. I can believe that, yes.
Very good.
Oh, absolutely.
You get in on the action.
In on the action?
You weren't told any of us. Just get the script and find out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think Chrissy as well becomes. It becomes clear that she's actually someone who is aware that a brother is better off growing up with a dad, and not someone who thinks I can be bothered with this. It's too much hard work.
Well, I think she's
nicer than
that. Yeah, she's not horrible.
No.
But she's pretty selfish and a bit childish. And I think she realises that Alan is a better parent and that his relationship with Maria is a more, you know, fruitful one than hers is with Maria.
And I think that shows something that she's aware of.
Yeah, no. She's not going, oh, you can't have her, I want her.
So, Yasmin, how easy was it for the babies to become a family unit, even if it's a dysfunctional family unit?
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
We had a laugh, you know. You don't get socialised much with the child actors because it seems like the minute they're... You get tea breaks with them sometimes to chat and muck around, but the minute there's an hour spare in the day, they're whisked off for all their GCSE private coaching because they're missing school. So it's quite hard, and of course they don't go out on the lash in the hotel bar quite as much as really nice, and her mum's always around, and her brother was in a Doctor Who episode at a similar time. I forgot his name.
Harry.
That's right. So we wouldn't know which episode, but yeah. So it's all the family business.
Research. We thought we had a job for life there, at least for a small chunk of our life.
And it was so fun to come together every year and just tickle.
So we're just praying that, you know, they might drag us back, but we don't mind if not. He thinks it's great. Yeah, it is.
Did you think for a second that Chrissy made war on the end of the end?
Yeah, I didn't see that last episode till the read-through. I hadn't read it.
No,
so it was a real... No, it's nice.
I think they need a bit of a partner and then they can come back together.
My mate Joel over the episode where they come back from about
in America.
Oh,
right, yeah.
And he was so excited that I have got Anna and Maria, and I thought they'd gone, and then he went, how
Oh,
So he was pleased and disappointed at the same time.
Probably more disappointed.
More, no, he gave me the fact he said that. He was much more disappointed.
Yeah,
Joe. Anybody else want to ask a question? Oh, yes, if I go again.
Yeah, I was
just
wondering how much input
you've
had into Chrissy's podcast
over. Well, could you stand up?
Yes, please.
These two have come dressed as...
Neither of you was big enough. Chrissy has
no, well, no, I never... It's because Joe's so hugely tall, they've kept trying to make us a bit more matched. Otherwise, I look a bit like his dwarfy, you know.
You're a bit shorter than our daughter, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm just shorter than our daughter. I did have, my sister kept looking at me and going, you just got them to get you clothes that you like. So yeah, she was kind of slightly slaggier version of me. But I do have to admit that the coat that I wear in the last series is actually mine. Because,
which one?
The leopard print one. It's actually my own coat that I wear nearly, in fact I'm wearing this coat, but sometimes when I wear this coat, people who know me very well say, where's your leopard print coat? They get, you know, a bit worried. I wear it all the time. So yeah, I'm a big leopard print fan. And obviously fuchsia is a wonderful colour on everything. And you girls look wonderful. I bet you look good in fuchsia. No?
It's just the underwear.
I'm just the underwear. You're the problem, yes. I shall charge my other jobs. You've just been in survival, so we've just seen you this week.
Yeah.
Can you help?
I did. Yeah.
How was that? I mean,
it's the same as usual.
Yeah. Done that before.
That is a good show to do. It's very. They spent a lot of money on that show, you know. I think, and it was quite posh. You know, shot on movie film on the digital and good fun and all sorts of small slim rumours. There may well be a second series and that my character may pop up again briefly.
Although there are a lot of differences.
I'm sure.
Max Beasley's character is a severely old Welsh man in the Legends series. So there's a lot of big changes. You've been doing brilliant.
Yeah,
Sharon's just one of the next actors.
But she is brilliant. Sharon, and I've done Pulling, which I love. I'm just about to do the special, and I've just done some Shamelesses, which is really fun, and some Skins, and
I can see
Cressy
if I think of both of them.
Yeah, we do. Then Skins, my character is very sort of low key and tired and a bit sad, and she's got a son who's on the autistic spectrum, and she's always having to kind of fight the internet. Yeah, it's great. It's quite, it's really fun. I really enjoyed doing it. And Shameless actually was really fun, although I had to do a Manchester accent, which is a bit like somebody from Manchester coming down to EastEnders and having to do a London accent. I kept sort of looking at them and thinking, they were really nice. I enjoyed it.
Shannon's just one of the best actors. Must be quite a validation for partner. He's all wanted to do.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock because it was something like the second most popular show amongst its target audience across the whole board. So it was a big shock that it was at because it was not only popular with the critics, but you know, numbers wise, it was really big. So, and I personally, you know, think it's a brilliant show. It's brilliantly written. It's brilliantly acted. And we're all a bit confused as to why. But you know, that stuff happens like that all the time at television. That's how it goes.
Anybody else? Yes, Francis.
Yeah, having just played Hamlet yourself, and what did you think of the other Hamlet? I'm not asking the actual Hamlet. I'm asking about the production.
Did you see it?
I did.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Well, it's really weird. Dame David Tennant is a really good old friend of mine. I've known him for about 12 years, quite good mates, and we did Hamlet the same year, and I was booked to do Love's Labour's Lost the same year, bizarrely, and then I pulled out of that. So we would have been doing, it's really strange. He came to see mine, and I went to see his, and he nicked all my gags. I'm not the first. but no. I thought it was someone who spent a lot of time at the RSC. I think I'm allowed to criticise it. Yes, I'm going to. I thought it was a little bit what I call ladybird Shakespeare, and patronising to the audience and a little. But it was thrilling as well. But it was a bit, you know, that beautiful theatre. I don't know if anyone saw it. It's a lovely big space and that has audience on three sides. And everyone came on and stood. Yeah, the courtyard thing. Everyone came and stood right next to each other, side by side, like it was a big cross arch, like it was Drury Lane. And there was barely any movement around. But, you know, David was fantastic. And I thought Patrick Stewart was fantastic. And the actors were doing their best on the whole. But it was a fairly uninspired event. Our funny, who was our, Lex Daniels was ours. Yeah, was it? Yeah. Great, anyway. But it was great, and it's just great. And what I love is the whole Doctor Who audience. I think that's part of David and Michael Boyd, who runs the RSC. I think part of their thinking was, let's not muck about here. If David's coming back and he's hot on the Doctor Who thing, let's get a whole generation of people into the theatre that would never have been going to see Shakespeare. And that is why I found it a bit annoying they didn't go for a really...
unusual.
Just really hard-hitting one, and they made it quite safe. I thought, no, don't patronise the kids that are coming for their first time. Give them a really, gut-punching show. But anyway, it was great. And so there are a whole generation that hopefully might come back again. And,
I didn't really saw the survey before they sent us out, the pie chart, they sent them out at random. The first question was, have you ever been to any theatre ever before?
Right.
Tick this box and we will get more money with the Arts Council.
Oh, well, great. Well, I suppose so, but that's the idea, isn't it? I think that's why they did it. So that's terrific. I think it's a great thing. The poor bugger's laid up in bed till Boxing Day at least. So all our thoughts are with him, I'm sure.
And painful, very painful thing to have.
Very, yeah. He's had it a long time. Yeah, he injured it in a show years ago and it's been coming back.
He exchanged his apologies, he said,
Dave once came round to our house for dinner. We live in 30 miles out of London in suburbia. And I've never seen such a great double take from my neighbours in my life. Just over the garden fence. Just brilliant.
Anybody else?
Do you know that the fans call you J-Mill? And what do you think?
The fans? I didn't know there was such a thing as the fans. J-Mill.
Yeah.
I didn't. And it's caught on, is it? So you mean five people call me J-Mill?
At least five.
12?
Yeah.
Okay, well that's great news. I was never a nickname.
Can I just check that they don't call you Gene Kelly then?
They
please,
don't
please.
That would be mean.
Great.
Right. Second question. Is it true that you do stand-up? Not anymore, really. I did some at the Soho Theatre recently with a group of other stand-ups who are all disabled, called Abnormally Funny People. And actually, I do it once a month with them now, trying out new material, kind of all sorts of stand-up and sketches. But I hadn't done it for a while. I'd done, mostly acting. So it was a bit nerve-wracking to get back on stage doing stand-up, but it was really good fun, yeah. So I do quite miss doing stuff. But not enough to go back to it full time, because there's a lot of travelling and stuff. Yeah.
How does that
It's our first one, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're great. Yeah, great. Lovely.
This is quite fun. This is more of the same than the
yes.
About chat.
With a bit of violence. We like
violence. Throw that in every time.
I'll let you apologise about that. It's just every service you do, you're almost in the wind. I'm not rather than the wasn't quite at the time or the place. So,
where did you want
to go? So I do apologise.
That's okay.
I suppose no more to say about that next time, I promise
we wouldn't have expected any less. thought there'd be violence, and there was.
There wasn't the less than they expected.
Absolutely.
So, could anyone like to do a little bit of the last question before my last one? Yes?
As someone who knows David Tennant, do you think he'll ever do a Doctor Who convention when he has the time?
There's someone who went to Doctor Who conventions when he was a kid, you know, so I know he wouldn't be anti them. I just suspect that for the next few years it would be too mental if he did one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm sure he wouldn't ever rule it out. I think he just is aware that it would be crazy, you know. So that is probably the only reason. I bet once a couple of other people have played Doctor Who, he loved it. But I bet he'd wait till then. You know, he's doing one every day of his life, basically.
Do you mind if I embellish it? A few years ago, David Tennant... Come on, I've just been getting a perfect gift here. Have you ever heard of the Doctor Who CDs, Big Finish, that's come to make Doctor Who and CDs?
Right, right.
And David did a few of them before he was Doctor Who. I guess that was a few of them. And one month, two came out with David in them. And they had, Leslie Phillips was in one, William Gaunt was in the other. And the three people who were coming along to sign were William Gaunt, Leslie Phillips, and David Tennant. And Leslie Phillips cancelled, and William Gaunt cancelled. Del decided not to have the event, did you, Del?
Yeah. For the only time you've ever been at one.
About a year before they became...
Well, I can tell you a small anecdote on that line. The play I met David on, was it 1996 or 7 in the West End, and on the press night, I only had a little part. Stop it. And I was understudying David, very happy, so I was already a fan of his. And but we got on very well on the show, and in the bar at the press night, he came over to me and said, who's that lady you were talking to? I said, that's my agent. Is it? I went, yeah. He went, can you introduce me? I went, yeah, of course. And I thought, oh, he wants to be my agent. He's going to nick all my jobs. All right, okay. So I went there, he went, hi, can I have your autograph? Because it was Wendy Padbury. What's going on here? And eventually he said, I was, you know, he said, calm down now, but I was such a huge Doctor Who fan. You know, I applied to be the junior president of the fan club once, blah, 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 you know. And we've stayed in touch, but sometimes in this job, you just don't see each other. Sometimes you go, oh, I must phone David. It's been 18 months or 2 years. So you're not like best mates because people move around. So when I heard about that, I heard not from him about that. I just couldn't believe it. Because not that it was his life, I'm sure he had other ambitions, but it's just great to see someone do the thing that they decided, you know, the thing that made him want to act at all at 8 years old, you know.
That was part of the reason that he thought he
might
have to say no to it.
Well, that's right, it was too much. Yeah.
And then to just realise that.
So that's why every day on set, we know how knackering it is doing Sarah Jane, and we're working with child actor hours, which are very cosy, and you don't do weekends, you don't do many night shoots because of the children. And Doctor Who is just an exhausting schedule, and David is famously, on tea breaks, he's the first one back on set for the crew, and he's done that the whole time, you know. I think he's honouring us. We're all fans.
Last question is, what are you up to next?
I'm going to do the pudding special and just workshopping a new sketch show and writing something, a sitcom thing for a production company. And Joe is at the National.
I'm at the National Theatre doing a losing weight and shaving my head for some bloke who's been on a hunger strike over Christmas, I ask him. A play called Every Good Boy Deserves Favour, which with Toby Jones, and on the box, I'll be on the box again soon in a new Midsummer Murders on Christmas Eve.
Come on, Dave.
An episode of Ashes to Ashes, new series, playing a horrible, paedophile, beardy, spectacled person.
I love that. She's
charming. Yeah. Like walking into a... Living Boots commercial.
It is a bit like one. She's a bit kind of Uber beautiful, even up like close, isn't she?
I interviewed Claire Rushwood just last month, and she had done that. She's actually seen this one.
Yeah.
And she said, not only have got to wear unflattering 80s gear, but Kayleigh's got to look gorgeous, but she's Philippe. And she says, and let's face it, you have to take a lot of work. So she's got to look great, and then I get to show the clothes.
And I had my head flushed down the toilet by Philip Glenister. I mean, what
more than you want? Okay. Would you please thank Joseph Melton? Wins this, which amongst other people is signed by Joe's agent.
Hey! Ex-agent, I'm afraid.
Ex-agent. Oh, yeah, she's moved to France now.
She has, yeah, well, I've left that agent.
So, first prize wins this.
Sorry, the first prize goes to Debbie! Debbie!
So there you are. We had two signings for the price of one. We had some Doctor Who actors first, and then we closed with the the Sarah Jane people. And yes, and a bit of news of one of them will be in Ashes to Ashes next year. A bit of violence thrown in as well. Don't think we quite got to the bottom of what that was about. Catch me another time for another Tim's take on.